Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I've got a quiz or a question for you. If I can do this. See if you can tell me what this is. See if you recognize this. Anybody? Evan, what is it? Mission Impossible! Mission Impossible theme. Turn. All right. There we go. Mission Impossible. In fact, Mission Impossible is me trying to use technology. So, we succeeded, though. So, when I was growing up, Mission Impossible was this TV show we used to watch. I loved it. And every episode would start with the main character. His name was Jim Phelps, Mr. Phelps. And he would receive this secret message, right? And it kind of went something like this. And of course, the message would tell him about some mission he was invited to go on with his team of secret agents. And of course, it was impossible, something impossible to achieve. And of course, he accepted it. But then, Mr. Phelps and his team, remember, he could accept no help. There's not going to be any help to expect from anybody else. Because the message that he got on the secret message always ended something like this. This is your mission, Mr. Phelps, if you choose to accept it. As always, if you or any of your team are caught or killed, the secretary will disavow any knowledge of your actions. This message will self-destruct in 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then smoke would come out. I loved it. In fact, I loved the opening sequence. It was the best part of the show. And of course, Mr. Phelps always undertook the impossible mission. And somehow he accomplished it. He and his team of secret super agents or they always accomplished it. And then of course, they made movies out of this more recently with Tom Cruise as the main CIA spy character, Ethan Hunt. Well, our Old Testament text for today from Isaiah 66, it's not about spies or the CIA, but it's about a mission that, at least at first glance, seems impossible. Completely unexpected. And for one episode here today, I invite you to play the part of Mr. Phelps. So first of all, let's talk about the mission. Now it seems rather unexpected, if you think about it, that the God of Israel would set out to gather all the nations to himself and save them. After all, the Israelites are God's chosen people. His treasured possession, as he calls them. A people whom he caringly gathers to himself. In stark contrast, the nations that Nancy read about in Isaiah, well, Isaiah minces no words really saying the nations are the bad guys. The bad guys in this episode. Like those always unspecified foreign despots in Mission Impossible. That's who you, Mr. Phelps, and your impossible mission team are sent out to try to defeat. Well, in Isaiah's day, the nations, they were foreigners and outsiders, undeserving of God's care and attention. And in this very chapter of Isaiah's prophecy, in fact, in the verse right before the one that Nancy read, verse 17, the nations are described as unclean and unholy, filthy, evil people, an offense to God. In fact, earlier in Isaiah, the nations are those who he prophesies are going to get slaughtered and scattered, not gathered. Well, I've got news for you, Mr. Phelps. We are the nations. We are the outsiders, the unclean, the unworthy of God's attention. And even if you say, well, I've got some Jewish heritage. Isaiah says even Israel is under God's judgment because of their unfaithfulness. And not only is it unexpected that God would want to save the nations, it's even more unexpected, Mr. Phelps, that God would use those gathered from those very nations to carry out his mission to save the nations. First of all, the nations, well, they're enemies of both God and his people. In fact, Isaiah spends 6 chapters, that's a very long message, Mr. Phelps, 6 chapters talking about God's judgment against the nations. And then, only a few scant years later, let's say a few minutes into the episode, the whole Assyrian army comes in and wipes out half of Israel. And then, let's say a few minutes later into the episode, the Babylonians come in and wipe out the rest of Israel and carry them off into exile. Things are looking pretty tough, Mr. Phelps. Impossible. Oh, and to make matters worse, Mr. Phelps, you and your team have been disavowed by the secretary. St. Paul says in Romans 5, you and I must be numbered among the enemies of God. So it's impossible. It's preposterous. It's scandalous that God would use those of us who are his enemies to carry out his mission. Your mission, Mr. Phelps, seems not only unexpected, but actually impossible. But for God, the unexpected becomes the expected. And the impossible becomes the possible. So let's take a second look at this from God's perspective. And we see that it's very much expected that he would save the nations and gather them to himself. God's heart has always been to save his creation and to save people. Human beings, souls whom he has created. So even at the beginning of the episode, if you want to know the backstory, when Adam and Eve rebel against him, the first thing God does is seek them out and promise them a Savior who will help them defeat Satan. And like a boy watching the umpteenth episode of Mission Impossible, even if we don't know how it's going to happen, we do know what's going to happen at the end. We catch a glimpse of the end of our episode in the book of Revelation, where the Apostle John comes on stage and says, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. So how does God accomplish it? God accomplishes the impossible mission by sending Jesus Christ as our Savior, so that everyone who believes in him, regardless of your background, might have eternal life. And then he gives us a sign. The sign that Nancy read about earlier. The sign for the nations. The sign for the nations is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The sign of all signs. The promise of the resurrection. Towards that, all nations will gather. And when Jesus comes and is lifted up on the cross, His blood speaks louder than the blood of Abel. Because it's for you and for me. As Christ is lifted up upon the cross, He draws all people to Himself, as He says. And through faith in the forgiveness of sins that we have in Jesus' death and His resurrection, we're no longer the filthy nations, but clean and pure and holy in God's sight. So that God can use us to carry out His mission to the nations. Why? Because God uses human beings, messy human beings, to carry out His mission. God graciously chose the people of Israel to be His missionaries, so that through them He might save the whole world, even though they forgot that this was their purpose. So, we don't need to be surprised then when Isaiah tells us that God gathers the nations to Himself and He sends us, Mr. Phelps, out to be His missionaries to declare His glory to the nations. And again, Mr. Phelps, let's not forget that we are those nations. So, upon closer examination, we should expect God to use us for this mission to make possible the impossible. As God gathers us to Himself and sends us out to the nations. If you watched the Mission Impossible season long enough, you may have noticed that one of the characters, I think the name of the actor was Greg Morris. Well, actually, his son appears on the show. His son comes on the show and kind of replaces him. Takes over as his sort of position. And let's suppose you, Mr. Phelps, have a little son. And you give your little son, let's call him Jimmy, you give Jimmy a bucket of water and you say, Jimmy, I'm going to give you an impossible mission. I want you to hold this bucket of water upside down without the water falling out of it. And little Jimmy says, that's impossible. So you walk away and see what he does. And little Jimmy starts walking around. He's carrying this bucket of water. And he's, what do the little boys do? They start swinging it. Little girls too, I guess. And they start swinging the, and he notices something, and all of a sudden he goes like, woo! Do that again. Woo! And guess what? The bucket of water at this point is upside down. And the water is still in it. Now, my high school physics teacher, if I got this right, would say that that's because there's this centrifugal force that's keeping the water. It's an outward force that keeps the water in the bottom of the bucket. It makes the impossible possible. And then there's another force on my arm or my hand which is holding the bucket, or little Jimmy's bucket. That's bringing it in. This is how God accomplishes His impossible mission. With these two forces. First, He gathers us in. He pulls us in with His Word and Sacrament. And He gives us two things. We call them Law and Gospel. You could call them truth about our sin and love about what He's going to do about it. And He gathers us in with that centripetal force. Fills us up with His love and His forgiveness. And then he sends us out with that to be that centrifugal force in the world to share his truth and his love with all nations. That's how he declares his glory. And you're part of it, Mr. Phelps. That's your mission, should you choose to accept it. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.